Good afternoon. This is Sarah Reith. We're preempting Making Contact from 3:30 to 4 today for another in our series of interviews with candidates for public office. Today we're hearing from Melissa Bradley, who's running for the 2nd District Congressional seat. The incumbent is Jared Huffman. Melissa, can you say hi and introduce yourself?
Hi there. I'm Melissa Bradley, and thank you, Sarah, very much for interviewing me. I really appreciate it.
Can you talk a little bit about your party affiliations and some of your work in the community and why you think that you're the right choice for Congress?
Thank you. Yes. So I'm running with the Green Party, and I've been a supporter of the community my whole life. I started in junior high school with a fundraiser for Africa, actually. My father did fundraising, and my father also worked for the mayor of San Francisco, as well as my grandfather. And so I come from a political background, Democratic political background. And most of my life, almost three decades of my life, I owned a large real estate company that I started myself from scratch. And it was one of the largest supporters of the community where I live in Marin County. We donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to local charities. And that started out small when I had my first little office in San Anselmo. And it just grew and grew and grew. And we just continued to support the community with funds for different programs, from everything from homeless people to youth groups to sports groups to mentally disabled groups. I mean, just pretty much everybody we gave money to. And so giving back to the community in a different way is what I'd like to do now. And that's what I've been focused on the last couple years. I've been changing my focus from real estate, which I've closed down all my real estate offices, and now I'm really focusing on just being an advocate, and I'm hoping to be an elected official advocate and to be able to do that on an official governmental level. I have been to local supervisor meetings for many, many months during my divorce. I started focusing on to try to get away from the pain, my personal pain. I focused on other people. So I did lots of volunteering. I did volunteering down in Marin City, which is at the very, very southern part of the district. And that's a very poor community with a lot of government housing. There's a lot of HUD housing down there. And I actually moved there during my divorce, and I really became a part of that community. And I did some volunteering with the Red Cross and Salvation Army and a local group that's called Whistle Stop, which does services for the elderly and poor. So that was a long answer to your question, but go ahead. What's your next? What else would you like to know?
Well, one of your priorities that you've listed is protecting funding for disabled people. And can you talk about some of your ideas for making sure that that stays in place and why you perceive it as being threatened?
Yeah, thank you. So as with many of the social programs, the President Trump administration has made budget cuts in various ways, and some of the ways that they've done it, for lack of a better word, is kind of tricky, where they've changed the requirements and how people are able to renew their disability insurance and so forth like that. Like, they've made little changes in the policies so that it's not so obvious that they're chipping away at disabled people's funding. And so if I'm elected as Congresswoman, I would be an advocate for not only disabled people, but pretty much everyone for, I believe in giving that if the government is able to help people that need it, truly help them, that it's an investment. It's not a, you know, lots of people that are want to eliminate budgets for social services, call it a handout, a government handout. I don't think of it as a government handout. I think of it as a helping hand. And I think because I ran my own business for nearly three decades and I started it from scratch, and my philosophy was to share. And in my business, I became the top agent in Marin County. And the way that I grew my business is I shared my real estate clients with other agents. And I that's how I grew my business, which was not a traditional way that real estate companies operated. But by doing that, by helping other agents, I was able to grow my own business. And so I'm using that same philosophy in government, and that's across the board, not just for disabled people, but for people in economic need and everything, that if we help people, like, for instance, the criminal justice system, if we help people to be rehabilitated, if we concentrate on helping the person, it's just going to be an actual investment, because we're going to wind up saving money on other things that would cost. For instance, like, for, I don't know if you want me to get into the criminal justice system. That's probably another one of your questions. But by investing into people to make them better people, I do believe we're going to save money on other programs. And so it's not going to turn out to be a net cost. It'll be actually a savings. And that's my philosophy. And I think that's the philosophy of the Green Party in general, is, you know, cutting spending in certain things, for instance, and focusing that same money on programs that will help people, like healthcare, is going to be better for society. Obviously, investing in the environment. We're going to have to invest a lot of money, but we're going to wind up saving money, too, because we're not going to be spending, hopefully, God willing, we're going to be saving money, because we won't be having to spend all this money on disasters like fires and hurricanes. If we're able to quell that, if we're able to reel it in by getting to close to a zero emissions, then we wind up saving money, because we're not going to be spending all this money, you know, with natural disasters, with all the destruction that comes from it. So that's the reasoning behind it.
One of the things that you're facing is the incumbent's environmental policies. A lot of people really favor them. So what do you think that you can offer in terms of protecting rivers and and ports and harbors that could be a change that people might appreciate?
Okay, thank you. So it's interesting that you bring this up, because a lot of times when I tell people that, just 1 second. Decline a phone call there. Okay, a lot of times when people mention that, when I tell them I'm running for Congress against Jared Huffman, their reaction is, I think he's doing a good job. And so I'm not against his policies. I just believe that I would do a better job. And part of that has to do with, I believe that Congress in general, across the board, Democrats, many of them, have voted to put us in Iraq, to continue with military spending, and I am really against military spending. I'm not against the military. I know that we need a military, but I think putting so much of the budget, half of the budget on military, on wars, is really not the right thing to do. And so I'm not against Jared's policies. I just think that I would be more progressive than he is.
And a huge issue for the agricultural interests here in Mendocino County, of course, is water, especially in the inland part of the county. And he's sort of gotten this whole juggernaut with the Powder Valley Project rolling. And I'm wondering what your views are on water storage and allocating water between ranching interests and making sure that species are also kept safe.
Yeah, so I haven't gotten into all the specifics of all of the different issues in all of the parts of the district regarding the specifics, but I am an advocate for clean water, for the environment. I'm a member of the Sierra Club. I'm a member of Greenpeace. I'm for preserving nature. I'm for the environment. Obviously, I'm running on the Green Party ticket. I support the environment, and I also support local sustainability, like local ranchers, local markets. I think that's important, and that's also something that there's a couple questionnaires that I took online on different surveys, and one of the questions was regarding a couple of the questions were regarding trade, and Green Party generally, and specifically me in particular, I believe that we need to really, really try to keep things local as much as practical. And that does it. So I'm not for just full-on free trade. I think we need to have fair trade. And with that in mind, I think we need to support our local economy, our local, like you said, ranchers and so forth, for sustainability economically, but also for the environment. I think when you are agreeing to free trade, you're agreeing to have no control over what kind of environmental effects that country is having on. So you could be supporting, if you're just doing free trade, you could be supporting very bad policies that we don't allow in the United States. So I do think that's different than Democrats, where a lot of Democrats are in support of free trade. I'm in support of fair trade. You can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and another issue where it's tough to walk a line between human need and making sure you don't trash the environment is housing. And of course, homelessness mm-hmm. is a huge issue in California and in a lot of urban areas in the country. And one of the governor's ideas lately has been using state land for housing. And I'm wondering if you've got anything to contribute to ideas about how to come up with housing without trashing the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, and it's a tough one, and that comes up a lot in my thinking. You know, when we think about we need to have more affordable housing, well, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, building really big apartment buildings? And, you know, concrete is obviously bad for the environment, and all of the materials that go into new buildings are bad for the environment. So you have to have, like, a meet halfway point on things. For instance, there's a federal building, like I said, in Marin City, in Marin County, and the people there have asked for that to be restored. And unfortunately, HUD wants to go in and rip it down and build new housing there. they don't need to. I've been in those units. I've been in many of those. It's called Golden Gate Village in Marin City, and I've been in many of those units, and they just need to be rehabilitated. But HUD, which is a federal agency, wants to have them completely torn down, displace those people, and then build new buildings, which, again, is adding to the environment's problem by putting in more new building materials. However, I'm in favor of affordable housing. We need it. There's no doubt that we need more affordable housing. So we need to come up with solutions that make sense, that are not contributing to the destruction of the environment, but at the same time, we're supplying people in need of housing. And I came up with this idea a couple of years ago, and I talked about it at the Marin County Supervisors meeting, not because of me, but they were already kind of discussing this, but they really made the laws a lot more lax for second units. For instance, there's a lot of houses in Marin County that are single-family dwelling houses that have had things converted, kind of, quote-unquote, illegally converted into, like, garages, into second units, and maybe some building add-ons done illegally without permits. But the county has come up with a program where they are, like, forgiving the fees or so forth on a lot of these second units in order to make more affordable housing. And so that's, like, not as big of a carbon footprint if you're just, you know, converting a garage into a little, you know, little second unit. And then if you have the county approving it, then the county can come in and make sure it's safe. So, you know, you don't have a fire or something because there's an illegal kitchen, that they can actually do the little steps that they need to do to make it legally safe. So I like that idea. And I think just, you know, if people are in Congress that have the right idea of supporting these things, that's going to make the difference. And so hopefully that answered your question.
Well, we've got some ADU ordinances in Mendocino County, too, that make it a little bit more bureaucracy to build them. But there's this intractable problem of how expensive it is to build things. And so I'm wondering if you think there are ideas on the federal level for subsidies or partnerships with organizations that could help people with the cost of building things in a way that's safe and also legal.
Yeah, I think the federal government needs to do a lot more as far as subsidizing for, housing, a lot more, like huge amount more than what they're doing. And what a good example of that just locally is that so many times a building contractor will get approval for doing a large subdivision, okay, and then they will tout the fact that they have a certain percentage of affordable housing units. I think generally it's 20%, and this is just in my county. And then people get behind it and say, "Oh, this is bringing in affordable housing." Well, it's not really. When it's 20%, that's like nothing practically. And then you have another, you know, a whole other group of homes built, and there's only a small percentage of them that are really actually affordable. So I think we need to really have legislation that really brings affordable housing to the communities across the United States, and particularly in Northern California and in our district. There's very, very little affordable housing. There's very little affordable housing. And so this is a really important thing for me. And also the homeless crisis it's ridiculous. It's so sad. And then when a charity wants to get something approved for instance, there's something that's getting worked on being built. I think it's called Mill Street in Serafell, where in my county, there becomes a whole bunch of red tape and people with the not my backyard mentality. And so I think really what we need to do is just have more federal government support for full-on 100% affordable housing, not just like, oh, we're going to build this subdivision and we're going to put in 20% affordable housing units. And then affordable housing in it's like affordable housing according to who, you know, like it's really not affordable for a lot of people. The affordable housing that goes in here in Marin County where I live is really not very affordable. So I think that needs to be addressed big time on a national level. And even though I'm running, obviously, in District 2 of California, and California has a lot of congresspeople, really this is just something that needs to be addressed on a national level, that we really need affordable housing. And we need the homeless. We need permanent solutions for homeless people. And I know, because this is an issue that I really was and still am very passionate about, there are areas in the United States that have found solutions. As a county, they've voted for permanent housing for homeless people, and they've been able to solve the issue. So it's doable. But having the support of the federal government and having federal government funding is really what is going to work, not just having to have the counties vote on this on each county and then having a huge amount of people protesting it. You know, it's like they don't want to see homeless people, but then they also don't want to spend the money on putting in a permanent homeless shelter. It's like, well, okay, guys, you can't have it both ways. So I do think on a federal level, if there can be a lot more funds allocated federally to solving the homeless crisis, that would be what we need.
And I definitely don't want to have us not address the issue of things being affordable, but we've had some huge economic shifts in this part of the state with the recent regulation of cannabis. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about your thoughts on the relationship between cannabis's legal state in California and the fact that it's still a federally illegal substance.
Yeah, well, so I'm for legalization of marijuana on a national level for a number of reasons. One of the things... I think it's really difficult when you have it legal on a state but not on a federal level. So, for instance, a good example, I have a friend she's a nurse, and she's really educated me a lot on how medical cannabis has greatly improved many children with autism. And she works at Marin General Hospital, which is the main hospital in Marin County. And she's explained to me that it's really difficult that that marijuana is not federally legal, because that means that when patients that have a need for marijuana, for instance, some children with autism that she explained to me, for one example, a child that had severe shaking. And then after taking the specialized dose of cannabis, was basically cured of that. But when, like, for instance, if this kid has to go to the hospital for some other reason, when they're in the hospital, because marijuana is not federally legal, they're not allowed to have it. And that's just one example. There's many, many, many examples of that being the case. On another note, I personally believe that there's a lot of people that are incarcerated in prisons federally or even just jails that are state jails or federal prisons that have been put in there for selling marijuana. And some of them have been in there for decades. And I think that those cases need to be relooked at, but they're not going to be really relooked at on a federal level, I don't believe, until marijuana is legal federally. So once it's legal, I think that, speaking as far as criminal justice reform, that those cases are going to be reanalyzed, and I think that that's going to save money because the government's not going to be paying for those people to be incarcerated for, you know, some of them have sentences that put them in there for the rest of their lives for selling marijuana. So I do think that that's something that's really important for a lot of reasons. And taxing it. I mean, if we're able to federally tax marijuana, then that's going to be another resource to put back into communities by using some of those funds to support programs.
One of the
social programs.
Yeah. Well, one of the big issues we've had here is that there seems to have been an expectation that cannabis was going to generate a lot of tax, and then the fees to bring the farms into compliance and all the taxes and the bureaucratic hurdles that people had to go through caused a lot of people to decline the invitation to step into the legal fold. And I'm wondering if that's a concern, if it starts getting regulated in that way on the federal level.
I can understand that argument, but I still feel that it should be legalized federally. Although, and that's what you'll find with me. Hopefully, I make it as one of the contenders in the general election. That's what I'm hoping. Please, just get me into the general, vying for, you know, one of the two that wins in the primary that gets to go to the general. Because I think a lot of these issues. Would be great to be debated by two people that are similarly, like-minded, but just maybe have a little different views on things. And so as far as federally supporting legalization of cannabis, marijuana, I do think I am for it, but I can understand the argument that people have where they feel like they wouldn't want that. And I think, like I was trying to say, is I can see a lot of viewpoints on a lot of issues, and I'm a very open-minded person, and I also listen. So I think that's also a really big benefit to considering voting for me, is that I will listen to people. Like, for instance, I have a sign on my van that says Melissa Bradley for Congress, and I was walking through the parking lot at the grocery store, and this guy stopped me and he wanted to talk. And then he started talking about Agenda 21 and asked me if I'd read it. And I told him, yes, I've read the whole thing, the whole Agenda 21, the official government document. And he was very, very much against Agenda 21. And I had about a half hour discussion with him, and I didn't agree with him on very many things, but I listened to him. And I think that's really important, that whoever is going to represent District 2 in California is not going to just blow people off when they want to talk about something. I won't do that. No matter how cuckoo I think somebody's ideas are, I will listen to them and I will be respectful. And I think that's really important, because if elected as Congresswoman, I'm not going to be just representing people that voted for me. I'm going to be representing everyone in the district and everyone in the United States, for that matter, and really, really, you know, everyone in the world.
Well,
world is counting on.
Well, we've got about 1 minute left, so can you give some campaign information where people can find out more about you or get in touch with you?
Thank you. Yes. So I have a website. It's Melissa Bradley, and then the number 4. And then the house. So Melissa Bradley for the house.com. And then I'm also on social media under Melissa Bradley. And if I'm able to make it to the general election, I plan to have a campaign where people can donate. And I will not be taking any corporation donations, unlike at least one of my competitors is seeking corporation donations. I'm not.
We're down to about 5 seconds.
Okay.
So thank you so much,
Melissa Bradley, for the house. And thank you. I hope to get to the general. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. And now stay tuned for Democracy Now!